This is Suno India Production. You can now listen to all our episodes on our Android and iPhone app. Download it now.
In November, the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, that is AIIMS Delhi, was hit by a cyber attack.
Delhi's prestigious AIIMS hospital was hit by a massive cyber attack, as a result of which a lot of its servers were heavily compromised. 1 week later, there is still no solution in sight.
Delhi's All India Institute of Medical Sciences is under deep problem. The reason is that there has been a cyber attack and all the servers are down. The server and the hackers are demanding 200 crore rupees in cryptocurrency. It is believed that the data of about 3 to 4 crore patients has also been compromised in this manner.
A case of extortion and cyber terrorism were filed with the Delhi police. There are also unconfirmed reports that Chinese hackers are involved and have demanded a ransom of 200 crores in cryptocurrency. The ransom amount has been denied categorically by the Delhi police. In any case, the issue is still unresolved. While some services have been restored, there are reports that say that some departments such as laboratory services are still functioning manually. Hi, I'm Menaka Rao, the host of this episode of the Suno India Show. When I went to AIIMS on December 5th, that is last week, I met patients who were asked to get laboratory reports done again because the reports had disappeared. Some were finding it difficult to get appointments. I met Mohammed Nafiz, who was waiting for treatment for his 2-month-old baby girl, Sidra. Sidra has a heart condition.
बच्चे को क्या बोलते हैं हार्ट में इधर उधर बोले डॉक्टर नस इधर उधर हो गया और हॉल भी है
तो मतलब उसको क्या तकलीफ होती है
वो? उसको सांस लेने में तकलीफ होती है और सोती नहीं है कभी कभी और दूध भी पीने में तकलीफ होता है उसको बच्चे को
अच्छा
नफीस ट्रैवल्ड इन एन ओवरनाइट ट्रेन फ्रॉम हजारीबाग इन झारखंड विद हिज वाइफ समीदा एंड चाइल्ड द डॉक्टर्स हियर टोल्ड हिम दैट हिज चाइल्ड्स कंडीशन वाज प्रिकेरियस ही रीच्ड एम्स ऑन नवंबर 25th
पहले कब आया और क्या हुआ
25 तारीख को आया मैम अभी हाँ। से उसके बाद फिर वहाँ से प्रोसेस चलते हुए आया पर अभी रुका हुआ UHID के नंबर के चक्कर सर्वर डाउन होने के लिए
UHID is a unique health identification number. It is the part of registration process that gets the wheels moving in AIIMS. The UHID system started in AIIMS as early as 2014. The recently launched Ayushman Bharat Digital Health Mission is a countrywide expansion of the system. The health records of each patient are assigned a 14-digit unique number. This helps create paperless records of patients even if they move from one hospital to another.
Doctor, क्या कह रहे
हैं? बोल रहे हैं क्या बोलते हैं अभी process है जब UHID number आ जाएगा तो आपका काम जल्दी होएगा.
तब तक रुकने को कह रहे हैं?
तब तक रुकने के लिए वही रोकथाम के लिए दवा दे रहे हैं बाकी तब तक के रुके हुए जी 10 दिन से UHID नंबर नहीं मिला है बोले ये वाला हो जाएगा UHID प्रोसेस उसके बाद तो जितना जल्दी हो सकता है आपका सर्जरी करवा देंगे पर इसके लिए तो अभी थोड़ा वेट करना पड़ेगा
सर्वर होगा तो ही सर्जरी होगा
ये तो क्लियर मालूम नहीं है लेकिन लगता तो ऐसा ही है जितना मतलब प्रोसेस है ऐसे तो अभी कुछ कर नहीं रहे तो मतलब हो नहीं रहा पेंडिंग में पड़ा हुआ है बच्चे का खाली रोकथाम के लिए इलाज हो रहा है अभी बस बाकी सब तो रुका हुआ है
When I spoke to Nafiz a week later, that is more recently, he said he got his UHID number but is still waiting for his daughter to undergo surgery. While AIIMS is slowly limping back to its normal pace of work, what remains clear is that the digital systems are vulnerable to such attacks. In this episode, I speak with Dr. Muktesh Chandar, who is an IPS officer with a specialization in cybersecurity. He was the founder director of NIIPC, that is the National Critical Information Infrastructure Protection Center, that started in 2010. This body was formed as per Section 70 of the Information Technology Act 2000, which seeks to secure critical information infrastructure of the country, including national security, economy, public health, or safety. AIIMS, as you know, stores critical information on patients. I first asked Mr. Muktesh about ransomware and the other kind of cyber attacks that could target public bodies.
The word ransomware is made of two words, ransom and malware. Now, any malware which is used to extract ransom out of the victim is called ransomware. Now, what happens in ransomware? The attacker is able to access your system and encrypt all your data and also take a copy of it with him. And then he demands a ransom, which may vary from $300 to any amount of money. And if you don't pay the ransom, he says that your data will never be available to you, and he might leak it on the dark web. So this is there is a threat involved, and then your valuable data is not available to you. So this, in nutshell, is the ransomware. How he enters into the system is a different technical exercise. This is, in most cases, it starts with a phishing mail, and then slowly the attacker is able to gain access privileges into the system. And at a predetermined time, he starts this encrypting your valuable data, which may be one machine or it may be entire server and all the machines involved into the system. So that is, in nutshell, is the ransomware. Now, talking of other kinds of attack, in cyber, there are so many kinds of attacks which are possible. Denial of service attack, and another related one is distributed denial of service attack. That means your IT systems are not available to your customers and to you, your organization. As if you have a car, but you can't use it because somebody has blocked it from all the sides. So the other kind of attack could be man-in-the-middle attack. That means whatever you are doing, he is sitting in the middle, and between you and the data transfer, he is taking a copy of it. Then there could be SQL injection attack. There could be data theft. There could be sinkhole attack. And there could be so many technical kinds of attack possible.
Can you describe the landscape of cybersecurity in India? Like, what kind of laws and policies do we have? And, you know, there are some bodies, you know, you started one of them. Like, how do these bodies sort of come in whenever there is an attack like that?
Coming to the landscape of cybersecurity in India, in the entire cybersecurity framework, there are many things which are very important. First of all, it starts with the legal framework, whether we have adequate data protection laws as well as cybercrime related laws which take care of any such cyber attack and the consequences of that. So I would say that we are halfway through in this. We have Information Technology Act, which was primarily made to facilitate e-commerce, and later on, number of cybercrime related sections were added. And as of now, it's a comprehensive act, I would say, and so many related rules have also been issued by the government. But still, we do not have a data protection regime in our country. And starting from the Supreme Court judgment in Puttaswamy case, that privacy is one of the fundamental rights, and subsequently the legislation was to come up. And for a long time, the data protection bill kept hanging. A lot of things were done. And subsequently, government realized that a comprehensive data protection law has to be there. So now the draft of the bill, Digital Personal Data Protection Bill, is available. And I'm sure within next budget session of the parliament, this will be passed. So this will fill up one large gap which existed in the legal framework.
The new Digital Data Protection Bill has raised the penalty up to Rs 500 crores in case of breach of data. But this bill has been criticized by many. This bill is the fourth iteration of a data protection bill that we've had. And the critics have pointed out that the new bill does away with the concept of sensitive information that includes biometric data, health data, among others. Also, states can exempt its agencies from the provisions of the bill, which experts say is unfair.
Apart from that, we also had a policy, cybersecurity policy issued in 2013, which envisaged a number of actions to be taken, but no time frame was specified and no financial implications were provided. And as a result, the policy still is there, but a time has come one when a cybersecurity, national cybersecurity strategy must be issued. I'm told that the strategy is ready after a lot of discussions and it's awaiting approval. So I'm very hopeful that this will also be issued. Now, the difference between a policy and a strategy is that policy is a wishful document, but the strategy is the serious action plan on which you act. You define certain goals to be achieved. You define certain time frames within which they would be achieved. You also devise a evaluation matrix so that all the targets can be evaluated on yearly basis. And above all, you assign some amount of budget at the national level to be spent on these activities. And then after 5 years, we measure what have we achieved after spending this much. So this cybersecurity strategies have been issued by several countries across the world, including UK, which had also suffered a similar ransomware attack. The next step in the framework would be a proper cybersecurity organization. Now, in India, I would say that there are a number of organizations which are currently handling the cybersecurity matters. Starting from Computer Emergency Response Team of India, CERT in under MeitY, which is also acting under Information Technology Act. And there is another one which also derives its mandate from Section 70A and B NCIIPC, and that is NCIIPC, National Critical Information Infrastructure Protection Center. This is to deal with the critical sectors of the economy, particularly in the government sector. And then there are sectoral certs also, which are supposed to be established. And in some places, some sectors, they have already been established. For example, in railway, there is a cert. There is a cert in power sector. And like that, so many other sectors are supposed to establish. Then Army is there. DRDO is there. National Security Council Secretariat is there. Local police is there. Investigating agencies like NIA are there. So all these form the organizational backbones of the system.
UK's National Health Services, that is NHS, had a ransomware attack in 2017 when many patients could not access patient records.
While doing my Chevening Fellowship, I studied the models of cybersecurity of India as well as UK. And there is a fundamental change, difference in the approach we are taking. UK also had this approach of multiple agencies which were dealing with cybersecurity. And then the incident took place and they realized that the buck has to stop at some place. And then they went for overhauling the entire cybersecurity infrastructure and created one single agency, which by merging various components from here and there. And then they also issued first cybersecurity strategy and then the second cybersecurity strategy for next five years. So this is the way they have made fundamental changes in their cybersecurity posture. And not surprising that they were evaluated as number one in Global Cybersecurity Index sometimes back. So all this, there are lessons to be learned from what other countries have done and then modify those details or the responses to our own country and go on with this to handle cybersecurity challenges.
So, you know, the government agency, so I primarily cover health, and, you know, like we are seeing it in like all sorts of public agencies, you know, they're trying to expand digital technology. Like, you know, they are trying to digitize many aspects of our lives, right? But right now, if you're sort of expanding your technology, you're supposed to follow these guidelines that you're talking about, right? I mean, ideally, those guidelines should have been followed so that your network is safe, or at least that would be the attempt, right?
Definitely. See, already there are a number of guidelines which are available, but I believe that these would not be enough, and some more loopholes which are there, which have to be plugged, will be there. Talking of the health sector, from one hospital to another hospital, digital, everything is going digital. And at some point of time, all these hospitals will also be connected. And one person who is patient in, say, hospital A, and later on he wants to go to hospital B, all his records would be available to hospital B also, or in a different part of the country. So in that way, the challenges would be very, very high, because this is not one single organization which is involved, but the multiple organizations would be there. So in the same way, as and when we go digital, we also have to prepare ourselves that not only we prepare the organization and the manpower and the people to use computers, but also to protect these networks. Earlier, in the physical sense, for example, even AIIMS had a chief security officer. So his role is to look after the physical security and the access control and the CCTV and things like that. Now, coming back to digitization, the chief security officer would not be sufficient. There would be a job requirement for a chief information security officer also. Now, it is to be seen whether AIIMS did have a chief information security officer and whether he did his job properly or not. And at some point of time, you know, physical security becomes only a part of a cyber security. So that means the chief information security officer would also look after physical security, because the cyber security, overall security in the scheme of things, physical security becomes a part of cyber security. So then we have to prepare the organization for not only for the digitization, but for the protection also. So what are the protection mechanism, technological tools, intrusion detection system, firewalls and perimeter protection and you know, malware filtering, and so many technologies are there. They have to be in place. And finally, the man behind the machine is very important. Whether we have trained that manpower not only to use the computers and the software, but also to protect and observe cyber hygiene, like in the COVID times, we did so many things. In the same way, in cyber also, if you want that the virus does not attack us, our computers, one has to take cyber hygiene the same way, like in the physical world. So the capacity building of the people involved, the training and awareness is very, very important to deal with them. And we have got mechanisms in place. One should not be in a hurry to go digital, because going half-heartedly, you know, like you are want to go fast and you want to drive, but you don't want to use get helmet. You have bought a bike and you want to just start using it, but you have forgotten, or you are careless enough not to take a helmet and other accessories of safety, maybe ankle protection or something else, then definitely the accident is bound to happen and it can be very risky. The same analogy is to be taken into the cyber world also. So one must go digital when required, but at the same time, prepare yourself for the contingencies, get your tools and technologies in place, and train your manpower, and also have a backup plan that in case something goes wrong in digital, this is how we are going to save our data. May use encryption, use backup, use second backup, and also business continuity planning. There are two things which are very important. One is incident management. You know, any organization, whatever measures they have taken, it is possible that still they will fall prey to the cyber incident. So how are you going to deal with that? And once you are a victim of cyber attack, how would you come back to your business again in the shortest possible time, minimizing the damage. And that is called BCP, business continuity planning. So these nowadays, there is a acceptance of this fact that cyber attacks may take place. So we have to follow a risk management approach. So everything has to be based on how much risk we are willing to take. It is what we want to protect and how much cost we want to spend on the protection. So all these things have to be thought, and then only one should go for digitization and connectivity.
In fact, Hindu's Vijeta Singh reported that AIIMS had been warned of loopholes after an audit was conducted by the firm Ernst & Young early this year. A report in the print pointed how doctors at AIIMS had pointed to the risks in digitization without looking adequately at safety many times. Would you want to tell me about, you know, other countries which have experienced this scale of cyber attack? You mentioned NHS and how they dealt with it. You could also talk about other instances in India itself where this may have happened in a smaller scale.
Ransomware has been there for quite some time. And when the shipping giant Maersk, they fell prey to cyber ransomware attack. A lot of computers which were there in India also were affected. That's a fact that those computers belong to a foreign company, but still Indian agencies got alert and they were involved into investigation. And I'm sure some lessons must have been learned even by that. And off and on, ransomware attacks have taken place in the individual computers with many organizations about which many cases have also been registered, and also some government agencies. But that all of that was on a lower scale, and probably the data involved was not much. So sanitizations of the machine again, and you're back into the business, that kind of situation must have been there. So when some organization cannot work for 15 days, that raises a serious concern. And that is what had happened with NHS. For 15 days, the entire medical system functioning got affected. In the same way, the shipping giant Maersk's global operations were affected. And the cost of disruption of business, cost of sanitizing the machines, cost of upgrading your systems in the aftermath of attack, and also legal compensation or penalties to be paid under GDPR and things like that. So the cost of cyber ransomware attack is very, very serious. And in India now, as far as the act is concerned, in the bill, the provision is there where the penalty can be up to 500 crores. So this is going to be a very huge. So every organization now has to start doing what is required in terms of cybersecurity seriously before, you know, they get attacked and lose personal data and face penalties under the Indian laws.
The government agencies are expanding digital technology rapidly in different sectors, and the citizens don't have a sense of how secure the data is, you know, whether it's Aadhaar or, I mean, Aadhaar is one example, but there are so many. Like, it's we are expanding everywhere, you know, like in every sector. So, like, how can we make these systems more accountable?
First of all, you know, I taking analogy from the road safety, I have been traffic chief of Delhi Police, you know, how difficult it is for the people to be convinced that helmet is important for your protection of your head, which is the vital organ. And, you know, penalties have to be raised, people have to be prosecuted repeatedly, and still many people do not wear helmet. And if they wear helmet, the pillion rider does not wear. So the safety consciousness, whether it is electrical safety, whether it is environmental safety, whether it is road safety, is weak, I would say, in our country, including fire safety. The same would apply to cyber safety also. So there is a need for nationwide, you know, cybersecurity awareness program involving school children, involving business houses, and you know, a culture of cybersecurity has to be established. This is one thing. More so when you are an employee of an organization that is dealing with sensitive data or sensitive systems. Now, the accountability will come only when there are penalties, only when there are legal, you know, regulatory and mandatory regimes to deal with this. So that is what is coming up. The gap, as I mentioned, that the legal gaps are being filled up once we have this kind of bill, which is similar to GDPR, European system. More accountability will be there. More and more people will be aware of the cyber safety and cyber hygiene norms. And I'm very hopeful the top managements, the top leadership's commitment is very, very important. If you are talking of an organization, it has to be a board level activity. You can't leave cybersecurity to IT team. It has to be an independent independent officer who reports to the top leadership. A cybersecurity policy for the organization must be there, which is a written document, well thought of, detailing every measures to be taken. And then cybersecurity officer or organization is to be there. He must be provided with sufficient financial resources. A lot of technological tools are supposed to be there. And finally, the education and awareness and training of everyone involved into this. So as to have a cybersecurity culture in the entire organization and also at the entire nation level.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can now listen to all our episodes on our Android and iPhone app. Download it now.